when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Does that go with what he just said? Or does do not err, my beloved brethren, go with what follows? Verses 17, 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. There we learned about the fact that God is benevolent. He provides because he is benevolent. Then it ends this way in verse 17, with whom, that is God, is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, not even a shadow that he turns. We learn there the second thing about his provision, that he is immutable, he is unchanging. This afternoon, we want to see verse 18, where we see that the third thing about his provision, and that is he is sovereign. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James is illustrating the good giving of God by pointing out that he regenerated us, that he is the one who gave us the new birth. The verse speaks of the new birth, regeneration. Of his own will begat he us. I've mentioned this many times, I've even alluded to it this morning, there is this debate on the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. All I can say is that both are taught in Scripture, but this verse emphasizes sovereignty, and for good reason. Charles Spurgeon said this once. He said, if I was asked, why is a man damned? I should answer as an Arminian answers. He destroys himself. I should not dare to lay man's ruin at the door of divine sovereignty. On the other hand, if I were asked, why is a man saved? I could only give the Calvinistic answer. He is saved through the sovereign grace of God and not at all of himself. I should not dream of ascribing the man's salvation in any measure to himself. Even after preaching the message this morning, having discussions afterwards with folks, this debate is ongoing. And folks, we need not debate it. God has settled it. Amen. We just need to accept what he has shown us. If you try to figure it out, you're going to get cocky. Because once you take one side, you're going to push it to the extreme, to the exclusion of the other. All we can do is say, praise God, he chose me. Amen. And at the same time say, praise God, I chose him.
Amen.
How do you figure that? I don't know. And you're thinking, but that's circular reasoning. Call it what you want. They're both true. Let's look in this verse to the cause of regeneration. It says, of whose will he begat us? His own will. The goodness of God to me is not due to anything I do that would make me deserving. It is of his own will. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we remember that part of it. But it goes on to say, which were born, we were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is all of God. Just as you did not generate your own human birth, you did not choose what day you would be born. You didn't even choose to be born. You cannot generate your own spiritual birth. While we were lost in sin, God resolved it by his own will to save us from sin. He's the cause of my salvation. Will he undo it by tempting me to sin? Do not err, my beloved brethren, no way. As already says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Secondly, and I know this is a tremendous subject to have on a sleepy Sunday afternoon because your brains aren't firing. The expression of regeneration. So we have a cause of regeneration. Look at the expression of regeneration. Begat he us is the same verb used in verse 15 that has to do with giving birth. Sin gives birth to death. God gives birth to life. Would God then cause me to sin? Do not err, my beloved brethren, verse 16. So there's the cause of regeneration, the expression of regeneration. Look at the means of regeneration. James clearly teaches it is faith in the word of God that is necessary for salvation. He begat us with the word of truth. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's no substitution for the proclamation of the gospel. What good is it to tell moving stories and to motivate people to be good? And even as some churches do, have an animal blessing service. You ever heard of those? Does anybody have an animal you'd like to be blessed? I'd like to do something else to your animals. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. It is the word of God by which we are regenerated. And then we see lastly the purpose of regeneration. Why does God regenerate us? That we should, look at the last part of verse 18, that we should what? Be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Should be here means so that we are a kind of first fruits. What are first fruits? Well, this is where Old Testament theology tells us something. In the Old Testament, the Jewish recipients of this letter, and that's who he's writing to, they would understand what he is talking about. At harvest time, they would take the first portion of what they harvested and they would give it to God as an expression of devotion and obedience before the rest could be offered for ordinary purposes. They would offer the first fruits. Exodus 23:19, for example, the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Among all of God's creation, saints are an offering to God. If you're a saint, you're an offering to God. You say, I'm not so sure I am a saint. Well, if you're saved, you're a saint. The Old Testament concept is a basis for New Testament giving. We give the first fruits. The first thing I do with my paycheck, Juanita's paycheck, is we say, okay, this much belongs to God. First thing. That's in my checkbook. None of the bills come before it, typically. I typically say, okay, this much. The first fruits go to God out of what has been made. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what of all thine increase? The first fruits of thine increase, Proverbs 3:9. Of all the creatures that God has in this universe, the believer is the highest and the finest. The first fruits. And so you look at James 1:18, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It is beneath the dignity of God to give in to sin for lower things. Somebody once said a higher birth means a higher life. God is our benevolent provider. He is our immutable provider. He is our sovereign provider. I'm glad he's in charge and not me. But I'm also glad I'm not a puppet. But of my free will, I choose to serve him. And I chose to accept him as my personal savior. You say, there you go again, contradicting yourself. Yep. To a human, it seems contradictory. But both are true. God chose me. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you, he says in John 15. That you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us. Now, Lord, may we choose to serve you. May we do so willingly. We know you don't want something like a puppet on the end of strings where somebody just pulls the strings and a puppet does what the strings tell it to do. But Lord, we do what we do out of love for you because you first loved us. Now, Lord, may we serve you willingly that you might be glorified through our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close in song, Brother Dave, please.